Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Harry's. For guys who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now, go to Harry's.com. Get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code HAMNATION when you check out. By DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 223, November 18, 2015. We present Mr. D Expedition, Bob Offen, K4 UEE. Hello, everybody. It's K9 EID, and we're coming to you from Pleasant Hope, Missouri. I miss this place, but we're back. And we have an incredible show tonight. We've got a very, very special guest. One of the greatest de-expedition guys on the planet. And he's going to tell us a little bit about how you do one of those. So we're really excited about that. Don is here, and Valerie is here, and George is here. And George, how are you doing? Everything okay?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, Bob. It's really been a busy week here. All the storms that blew through last night caused me a few transmitter troubles. We'll talk briefly about that later on in the show, but good to see everyone tonight.
It's good to have you here, and we have Miss Valerie here. Valerie, how you doing? Did all the storms kind of like go over and you're okay?
Yeah, everything's good. A lot of new goodies here at the shack. If you can see behind me, I got a couple of new amps from DX Engineering. I got a couple ACOMs there. Also, Jerry was busy. We put up a dipole. Inverted V center fed dipole for 60 meters. For those of you who hadn't heard of 60 meters, it's a relatively new band, and it's got like five channels, and you can operate upper sideband for phone or CW, and it's kind of fun. So a lot of new stuff going on around here, so we've been busy.
Okay, that's great. Well, we're looking forward to you and Bob K4UEE talking about all the de-expedition a little bit. And then we have Mr. Don. Don, you got your camera all back? Everything's okay?
Yeah, I do. I'm back in living color, and you can see me really clear, which I'm not sure if that's a good thing or not. Hey, I got on HF on Saturday just for the heck of it, talking with Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB, the kit guy from CQ Magazine in Dayton. And it turned into a pileup, which was really cool. But I made contact with a guy that I actually work with, although he lives in Florida and I live in Mississippi and work in Louisiana. But I want to say hi to Warren, AB4GE. I got Warren's card today. Warren is a great IT guy who works for iHeartMedia, Clear Channel, and a great guy. And so finally, I've known Warren for several years and finally made our first contact. So Warren, mine is on the way to you. So there you go. And we'll have news line a little bit later on. No solar update tonight. Tamitha Skova has got a lot of personal stuff going on in her life, and she's just been extremely busy, but we'll try to get her back as soon as we can. But we do have news line and all manner of other foolishness. Bob, back to you.
Okay, well, we'll be back to you, that's for sure. I got set up here in the good old studio in Pleasant Hope, and I have one of our new microphones. We just introduced it. It was around for a couple of years in Chrome. But this is our 50th anniversary starting in 2016, and we've got several new things, and this is one of them, the Heritage. Of course, it's a broadcast microphone that sounds good. Most broadcast mics, they got all these old-type things, but they don't sound very good, and we fixed that, of course. So we've got that happening and all other kinds of things going on. There's a page on our website telling about the new Heritage. So you can go read about it. It's not very expensive. No, it doesn't light up, Brian. But it certainly does sound great. I've got a little news from Gordo. He's out with the U.S. Coast Guard Auxiliary tonight. He's on a muster. So they're doing a lot of practicing and so on with the stuff going on in the world. Why they're really cranking up a lot of things. And that's one of them. And they're in a muster tonight, which is a practice session. KJI has an open house this Friday and Saturday and Sunday. This is a great dealer out in New Jersey. We love him. Gene, Marianne, Randy, Drew, these are great people. They're good dealers for Heil Sound and great supporters of amateur radio. And so November 20, 21, 22, if you're in the area, why, go check in. They've got all kinds of manufacturers, reps, and stuff going on at KJI. And the Hark Fest is happening down in Congress, Arizona, at the Escapees RV Park. I love that name, Escapees RV Park on Highway 89. They're going to have their Hark Fest. So if you're in the area, why, stop by and let them know that you're there. So that's what we got going on here. We've got a lot of things and plans for the show. Guests that will be on in the next few weeks. Now that I'm back here at the regular studio, I've got some things that I'll be coming up with for you. You've all been just so patient and waiting for some of this audio stuff. So we're going to do some more about it, of how to hook all your receivers and transmitters and all that stuff up to the audio patches, and we'll get into that. But now that I'm back here, I'll have a facility to do that. But we got a lot of work done while I was in Illinois. And, hey, we were able to make all the shows, and I hope you enjoyed getting to see some of the assembly plant back in Fairview Heights. Don, what can you tell us about shaving your beard if you wanted to do that? You have a way to do that?
I do, and it's Harry's. You know, we're coming up on Thanksgiving next week, and, of course, November is Movember. I bet Brian's got a serious beard going on. Brian, you got that camera right there pointed at you? Let's see your Movember beard. No, you're not.
Actually,
you're clean shaven?
I shaved, like, 2 days ago. I used the Harry's kit for it.
Use the Harry's. Well, see, there you go. A bunch of guys are not shaving this month, and they're doing that to show support for men's health, and that's what Movember is all about. And Harry's is an official partner of the Movember Foundation. It supports research on men's major health issues like prostate cancer and the like. And Harry's is a big-time sponsor of that to help raise awareness for that. So whether you're growing your beard or not, I'm not either. I've got my little goatee going here. But whether you're growing your beard or not, you're still going to want an amazing shave, because once Movember is over and you decide to, you know, maybe go back to the clean-shaven look, you're going to want your Harry's. And Harry's is a company you can feel good about, not only because of the great product, but because of what they do with the community. They were started by two guys who are absolutely passionate about creating a better shaving experience by giving you an amazing shave at an affordable price and doing it directly to your door. And they give 1% of their sales and 1% of their time back to the communities they serve. Now, they own their own razor factory in Germany. Some of the best blades in the world have been made there for almost a century. And they sell their products to you at factory direct prices, so it only costs a fraction of the price of the big brands. Look at it spitting those blades out. That is in Germany. They own the factory, so you get factory direct pricing. And over 1 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. It's so easy. The website is streamlined. It's easy to use. It takes less than 30 seconds to place an order. Great customer service, too. I love Harry's. Harry's is kind of something that I do to pamper myself. And if you go to harrys.com, let me show you what you'll get. You'll get a kit, and in the kit, you get a razor like this. This is the Truman set, I do believe. This is the set that you get. And you get the nice razor. There's a blade cover there. Let me show you what's in the box, because I have pretty much everything in the box except for one thing. I took the blades out because I've got another Harry's razor back in the back. But in the box, you get the shave gel right there. You get a travel cover right here that goes over. So, you know, if you travel with your Harry's razor, you can just snap this over it. And, of course, the razor and the blades and the shave gel four blades you get. I believe it's four. But you can go to harrys.com and find out. But the thing is, if you go to harrys.com, you get $5 off your order. Just mention the code HAMNATION at checkout, HARRYS.com. Enter code HAMNATION at checkout, and you'll save $5. You get it off for $10. Normally 15, you save 5, you get it for 10. So go to harrys.com, HARRYS.com. A great sponsor of Ham Nation and a supporter of Movember and Men's Health, and we could not be prouder of their association with Ham Nation. Let's check out the news of the week, shall we? And I may splash a little aftershave on because you know I like to smell good. Harry's has got a great aftershave too, by the way. Let's go ahead and go to the news while I feel my clean clothes Harry shave. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1988, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 18th, 2015. Imagine being a student in the year 2000 and having a QSO with a ham somewhere out in space. It happened at the Luther Burbank School in the Chicago suburbs at the dawn of a program called Amateur Radio on the International Space Station. Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, talked to the science teacher who was lucky enough to help her students be chosen to talk with ISS astronaut William M. Shep Shepard, KD5GSL.
Growing up, you live in a certain block. Your world first is just that block. And you go to school and your soul, your horizons, they keep expanding as you progress through school. We opened their eyes to a horizon that they didn't even know about, and it was out in space.
In 1996, a junior high school teacher filled in an application for her school to make contacts with astronauts.
My name is Rita Wright. My call sign is KC9CDL. I was a science teacher.
The first full mission in the newly completed International Space Station happened in the fall of 2000. Wright School was selected to make the very first ham radio contact. Finally, in December, the students all gathered in the school auditorium for the first school contact with a brand new space station.
The actual contact itself was in our auditorium. All of the students were there, and we had set up on stage the radios. It was very, very exciting, the actual contact.
Wright says a ham radio contact wasn't quite in the regular curriculum.
It was not something that was ordinarily done in a classroom situation. I mean, you go into your classroom, you're given a textbook, and you teach page one, page two, page three, etc. What I tried to do was do that, plus bring into the classroom the excitement of what's out there today and what could be tomorrow for them. Of course, they had to learn the basic lessons in science. That's what I taught them. But I also tried to bring to them what else is out there and what opportunities they could take advantage of or, you know, they could follow. I always was trying to open up the world, so to speak, to the kids as much as I could.
Retired schoolteacher Rita Wright, recalling the very first International Space Station to school ham radio contact 15 years ago. For the Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Several distinguished radio amateurs are being honored by the Radio Club of America at its awards banquet and technical symposium November 21st in Cupertino, California. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
The annual gathering of the Radio Club of America is one of the top events in wireless communications. The group uses the opportunity to tap radio standouts and acknowledge them for their hard work. The extensive list of honorees this year includes a number of hardworking hams. Dr. Nathan Cohen, W1YW, has been chosen to receive the Alfred H. Greb Award in recognition of the achievement of excellence in engineering and manufacturing of radio equipment. David Bart, KB9YPD, is receiving the Ralph Batcher Memorial Award for helping preserve the history of radio and electronic communications, including the Radio Club of America's own history. Timothy J. Duffy, K3LR, has been chosen to receive the 2015 President's Award for his unselfish dedication in supporting the club. Gerald L. Agliata, W2GLA, was chosen to receive the Edgar F. Johnson Pioneer Citation in appreciation of his longtime and substantial contributions to the success of the club. Carol Perry, WB2MGP, a well-known ham radio education advocate, is being presented with the Vivian A. Carr Award, recognizing her contributions as a woman in wireless communications. The keynote speech at the banquet presentation will be delivered by David Leeson, W6NL. He will discuss Silicon Valley's bountiful community of entrepreneurs in the communications field. As the list of awardees show, opportunity and creativity is everywhere.
Radio Amateurs of Canada is also paying tribute to two notable amateurs by appointing them to the Canadian Amateur Radio Hall of Fame. The recent appointees are Jim Dean, VE3IQ of Ottawa, Ontario, and Pharrell Hoppy Hopwood, VE7RD of North Vancouver, British Columbia. Inclusion into the Hall of Fame means the amateurs have achieved outstanding efforts in their service to amateur radio in Canada or amateur radio in general. More details about the awards and the honorees' contributions will appear in a forthcoming edition of Canadian Amateur Magazine. Congratulations to all of these distinguished and deserving radio amateurs. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for over 37 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, Heather Emby, KB3TZD, and Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Kind of cool to see Tim Duffy making the news this week. Tim's a great guy. I thoroughly enjoyed visiting with Tim and everybody up at DX Engineering when they invited me up a few weeks ago to go and launch the new catalog. And just couldn't be happier. So congratulations, Tim. You're one of the good guys. It's hard to believe. Can you believe this? We're going to talk about DX Engineering now. Thanksgiving is next week. Where is the year gone? And that means that DX Engineering, of course, is busy putting the final touches on their holiday special. And it's going to be a big one because, well, you know, if it's Tim Duffy does nothing small. Have you seen that station of his? Starting this Monday, the 23rd, all the way through Cyber Monday, the 30th, you can earn DX bucks on every DX Engineering, Comtech, and Butternut product that retails for over $100. And you'll get DX bucks on purchases of other select items as well. At DX Engineering. DX Bucks, you can think of them as gift certificates. You'll always earn them whenever you buy select DX Bucks eligible products at DX Engineering. And for the holiday week only, the 23rd through Cyber Monday the 30th, you'll get DX Bucks on every DX Engineering, Comtech, and Butternut product that retails for over $100. And of course, the DX Bucks award values depending on the overall retail price of the order, of course. And they're available on other select DX Engineering, Comtech, and Butternut products too. Plus, throughout the whole month of November, DX Bucks are available anytime you buy a Nanook 935 series carry-on case. Those are amazing, those Nanook cases. You're going to love those things. And after your qualifying order, you receive a DX Bucks certificate in the mail. Certificate has a special code, links you to your DX Bucks promotion account the next time you order, either online or by phone. Give DX Engineering that number, your awarded DX Bucks amount will be sliced right off the top of the order. Said it's just like a gift certificate. And also, the new Super Card was recently introduced by DX Engineering. You can get zero interest financing for up to 12 months. So maybe you've got your eye on one of those new amplifiers like Val has. There you go. No excuse not to get it. The Super Card unlocks your buying power so you can outfit your shack with the best gear. And you get free financing as long as you pay off the total balance within the promotional period, either 6 or 12 months. And if you don't, the interest gets charged back to day one of the original purchase, of course. 12-month offer applies to purchases of $750 or more. 6 months to purchases of $199 or more. That's the fine print. And, of course, it's subject to credit approval. Full details on the supercard at dxengineering.com. Free standard shipping on any order over $100. Some exclusions apply, but it's perfect for holiday shopping, online, and Big Shack upgrade orders. And, you know, if you're shopping for yourself or maybe you've got a ham that you're going to shop for, this is perfect. And, of course, that shipping in-stock orders placed before 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped the same day. In most cases, orders are successfully delivered within 2 business days. They are on the ball. They ship faster than anyone else in the industry. Like I said, get your ground shipping order in by 10 p.m. Eastern Monday through Friday. If it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way that day. The products are proven. The advice is expert. The people are amazing. DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Go online 24/7, grab your catalog, request a catalog at dxengineering.com/hamnation. dxengineering.com/hamnation, a fine sponsor and partner here of Ham Nation. And we literally couldn't do it without people like Harry's and DX and ICOM and everybody else who advertises on here. So we thank them for their support. And we thank George, too, because George has a soldering iron and he probably got that at DX Engineering, and if he didn't, he should have. George, how you doing tonight?
Hey, Don, I'm doing pretty good tonight. Boy, it has been a busy week, actually a busy month for me so far. You know, last week, I and you can see I've got my Raspberry Pi behind me here Well, maybe you can't see it, but it's there along with a lot of jumper leads and some push buttons and resistors and a relay. And a transistor's on there, too. I was working on a little project that I wanted to show you this week. I'd kind of teased it last week. Well, I got that project finished. I finished it up Monday night, and I was going to shoot the video of it Tuesday night, last night, and had a little problem. You know, working in the broadcasting industry, Don, I'm sure you're very familiar. If you're usually on this end of the mic, if you get on this other side over here, you can have a lot of long nights and issues happen along the way.
I've probably caused a few long nights for engineers, come to think of it.
I suspect you have. You know, you can have a 25,000 watt transmitter and an antenna 1,000 feet in the air, and all it takes is one of these little quarter amp fuses to take it all down. So that's where I spent my evening yesterday. Instead of shooting the video I wanted to show you tonight, we had a little power failure when all those storms came through, and one of our transmitter sites that's way out in the woods had a power failure. Generator cranked. The main transmitter did not come back on. I couldn't get the auxiliary on from the remote control, so nothing to do but jump in the vehicle, drive 30 minutes out there to get to the end of the road where you turn off the pavement to go through the woods. There's a tree that's fallen across the road, so I have to get out of the vehicle. Fortunately, I have my little flashlight with me. Now, there's thunderstorms headed into the area. The wind is, you know, probably 30 or 40 miles an hour. I looked at the radar before I left the house. It looked like maybe I've got an hour, and I'm going to try to rush into that transmitter site, get in, figure out what's going on, get it on the air, and get out before the storm hits. Well, now I'm going to have to walk about a quarter of the mile through the woods, up a hill in a twisted road. Well, not really. Part of it's a road. Part of it's just a trail through the woods. So I do that. Fortunately, I get there, and I find the bad fuse, swap it out, got everything taken care of in 5 minutes, and it's time to turn around and head back out to the truck. So another quarter-mile march in the dark through the woods in an approaching thunderstorm. I did manage to get out, though, and without getting wet or snake bit or any of those things, unfortunately, the electricity came back on, but apparently my transfer switch did not transfer back to the utility. So that site's still on generator out there. And as soon as I get through here tonight, I'm jumping back in the truck and headed out to the woods again. Fortunately, I know this time the electric crew has been out there, and they cut the tree that's blocking the road. So I'm planning on being able to drive all the way in tonight. But anyway, boy, busy time here. I couldn't go out there today and do it because I had a crew moving some 950 megahertz STL dishes up and down a tower and repositioning them. So spent all day doing that. Needless to say, when you're messing around broadcasting, especially in the engineering department, you can end up spending a lot of time just unexpectedly. You know, things come up and you have to take care of them. One thing I did get to do, though, this week is I took out this little rig expert here. This is the AA230 Zoom. I think I showed it to you last week. Well, I managed to get it out, and actually I hooked it to an FM broadcast antenna and ran a little SWR sweep with it. Turned out great. Took it to a repeater site as well and swept a repeater antenna with it. And that antenna had been up there for a number of years. It looked great too, but, you know, it was so handy to be able to do a sweep and store it in the analyzer here, bring it back to the shack, plugged it in my computer, got it out, saved it as a graphic, and sent it on to the repeater owner so he could see exactly what his antenna looked like. And, boy, I tell you, technology has really come a long way And we're going to be looking a little more at this in the future and seeing some of the different things you can do with one of these because, you know, it's nice to have an SWR meter. I still recommend that you have one. But, Bob, some of these tools like this can really make life a lot simpler and do things that would have cost us $10,000 to do just a few years ago.
You certainly wouldn't have held it in your hand, George.
No, no. Hey, you might not.
I have a fix for your fuse right here.
Right there. You know, I'm just going to have to start carrying some of that around with me, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, right here. This makes great fuse. It also makes a great smoke.
Yep, it'll do that too. And I suspect that that's my problem tonight. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to find out there's another fuse that's blown, except that one's, I'm expecting, is going to be about this long and about that big around. So a little different fuse. But anyway, we'll see what's going on with that. Hopefully next week I can get this Raspberry Pi project finished. You know, I'm excited to show it to you because it's running Windows 10 IoT Core as the operating system on the Pi, which is a little different. It's not a desktop operating system, but I was able to write just a little small project that I wanted to do just to kind of show you that, hey, you can do some stuff with this Raspberry Pi if you're a Windows developer, and you can do some pretty neat things too, way beyond what I've done here, but it's a neat technology and a new operating system free from Microsoft that you can run on there. It's not the Raspbian operating system like you're used to seeing on the Raspberry Pi. This is more like an Arduino or something like that, except it's a much more powerful processor on it. I talked a little bit about it in the last episode of Amateur Logic. I showed what it looked like on the screen and a couple little things, but we're going to pull out my little project here. Hopefully next week we'll get to take a look at that if I don't have to change too many of these things right here out in the meantime. Well, you know, last week we asked a question, and that was, this came from the Amateur Radio Technician exam, by the way. What class of electrical component is capable of using a voltage or current signal to control current flow? And your choices were A, capacitors, B, inductors, C, resistors, or D, transistors. And Bob held up a pair of shoes that we're going to present to the winner. No, it's not the pair that he held up at the first of the show tonight, but it was a pair of those Howell Converse high tops. And we had a lucky winner here, Bob. It's going to be Jeff Darby, KE0CAZ. He guessed that the answer is D, transistors. And you're correct, Jeff. Congratulations. Bob and the crew will be getting those shoes out to you just as soon as you send me your address and information there. We'll get it on to them. And congratulations. You know, for next week, I've got another nice prize here. This is one we have not looked at before. Comes from our friends over at DX Engineering, and it is, they call this the DXE GBWM. It's a copper ground bus wall mount. You got a couple of tabs there. You can screw it to a wall. It's got a couple of copper terminals on here on the end to hook your ground wire into. It's got a couple of eye terminals on the other end. It's got holes on the top for connecting those DX Engineering or other coaxial surge suppressors. I don't have one of those handy, but, you know, those are little blocks that you put in series in your coax and then you ground them. So this gives you a convenient place to mount all of those or, you know, some of your copper braid or copper strap or whatever you've got. You know, if you want to tie all your transmission line grounds together, this gives you a convenient place to do it. If you'd like to win that, then answer this question right here. What is the best electrical conductor? Now, Copper is the second best electrical conductor. So this other one I'm asking about, the best one, we would not use in our ham shacks typically for ground busing. Oh, and one thing I wanted to mention about this, you can't twist it. This is some kind of special copper alloy that is really tough. So if you want to win that, then send your answer to me. Tell me what is the best electrical conductor. HamNationContest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. Well, right now, let's get a message from our friends over at ICOM, and then come back, and I will tell you about the grand prize they're giving away this month. Over the hills and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. For those long holiday trips, let your ICOM radio help you enjoy your travels. Take ICOM's IC7100 D-Star radio with you this season. This radio offers an angled control head and touchscreen for easy mobile operation, a large internal speaker for clear digital audio, and it's perfect for multiband and all-mode communications. Interested in easy hands-free operation while you hit the road? ICOM's analog IC2730A mobile and the digital ID5100A both feature optional Bluetooth capability, a large backlit screen for high contrast viewing, and 50 watts output power on both VHF and UHF. For entry-level D-Star operation, check out the ID880H. Features include VHF-UHF dual-band functionality, one band at a time, good menu structure and easy programming, and fast multiple scanning for maximum reception. Looking for a compact, rugged, and user-friendly radio on 2 meters? The IC2300H has a large, bright alphanumeric display with three backlight options, oversized tuning dial for easy operation while on road, and 65 watts of stable output power. Visit icomamerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's mobile radio selection. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation. Register to win for some great swag prizes like hats and T-shirts. And you can also find out how you might win the monthly grand prize while you're there. For November, the grand prize is going to be the ICOM ID5100A innovative 2-meter 70-centimeter transceiver with touchscreen, internal GPS, D-Star, dual band, dual watch, analog and DV automatic repeater list up, optional Bluetooth unit for wireless headsets and an Android app, and a whole lot more. So go to icomamerica.com/hamnation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. And I guess that's going to do it for me tonight. Bob, Don, Val, good to be with you here tonight. But I've got to leave now and go change one of these. So, Val, take it away.
Well, thanks, George. Good luck with that. Hey, so tonight I'm going to be interviewing someone. I know I've interviewed him before, but you know what? With this guy, once is just not enough. Now, he has been on a lot of major de-expeditions, usually leading them. And for some strange reason, they usually win de-expedition of the year. I'm talking about none other than Bob Alphen, K4UEE. Welcome back, Bob.
Thank you very much, Val. It's great to be back. The last time I was on your show was in January before we went to Navassa.
And I understand, speaking of Navassa, you got some news for us. You just finished doing a couple of videos on your last two de-expeditions. Which two were those?
Well, a year and a half ago, it was a trip to Amsterdam Island in the Indian Ocean. The call sign was Fox Tango 5 Zulu Mike, but the recent DVD that we've just completed is for Navassa. The call sign was K1N.
Now, I know you do these on a regular, how long you go on all these de-expeditions. How long have you been making these de-expedition videos so people can get a glimpse at the adventures and the behind the scenes involved with these de-expeditions?
The first one I did was about 15 years ago after coming back from Kingman Reef, K5K. So 2000 was the first one. It's in addition to de-expeditioning and de-exing photography and video and making these great videos of adventures are kind of my second hobby.
And they are great. And I appreciate you let me use, I know, the video from Malpelo when I did an episode here on Ham Nation showcasing Malpelo. Now, you've got, what, 10 different DVDs available of D expeditions that you've been on? Is that right?
Yes, there's 10 of them now, and they're all very different, just like the adventures themselves were very different.
Now, when people get these DVDs, what do they usually use them for?
A lot of people have a personal collection of ham radio-oriented videos or DVDs. Others purchase these to use at club meetings. Others use them at meetings with the Boy Scouts or maybe newcomers to the hobby to kind of interest them in the DX side of this great hobby. There's some folks that buy them for gifts. A lot of XYLs buy them for their OMs.
You know, that would make a great gift. And speaking of meetings, I'm going to tell you, we just came from our CARS meeting, the Kankakee Amateur Radio Club up in Kankakee. And that meeting was on FT5ZM, and they showed the FT5ZM video. And they actually, at their club meeting, had the most members they've ever had. It broke a record. And that club's been around a long time. But also Jerry was there answering questions because he was on the D-Expedition. So that may have had something to do with it. But
yeah,
I think we have a clip of FT5ZM. If you want to roll that, Brian, give people a taste of what these DVDs show.
There's probably a total of 6 days in the packing altogether at this point. I wish I was going to be there. This is going to be so cool.
I think that we ought to be talking about the antennas needed for Jerry's wedding.
This is Tuesday, the 14th. In Fremantle, the plan is to have 10 antennas, monobanders, 5 at each of the two sites.
I am getting this thing ready, this cable ready, to hook to the bottom of the antenna.
The thing you're going to use the most of while you're on board, and it sometimes can be the most difficult thing to understand, is the toilets.
After about a year and a half, we're on the way.
You're not going to eat all that, are you?
Sure. So we're pretty much smack on halfway right now from Fremantle to Amsterdam Island. And it's nice to see 99% of the Teletubbies are alive.
Such a beautiful small island, lost in the middle of nowhere.
This is the site Mataf, M-A-T-A-F. It was assigned to us. It's the lower site. It looks like a big, big multi station.
Roger, Hotel Bravo 3, Yankee, Yankee Delta. Thank you, 5-9.
Thank you.
Charlie Whiskey 1, Quebec, November, 5-9.
Delta 59, thank you.
Fox Tango 5, Zulu Mike, 505 and above.
And this is a method we use to attach the 4 stations here at Mataf to the 8 antennas we have. This is the 160-meter antenna at Antonelli, which is our QTH up on the side of the volcano. So 4 people come up every morning for 24 hours. 4 people go down in the morning and sleep most of the day.
12 meters opened up, and I was going solid for I don't know how many hours until the band closed last night.
The chef of Amsterdam.
And I make pastry for lunch.
Merci beaucoup.
100,000 cues. I think we've probably exceeded our expectations so far.
Kilo Tango 8 Delta. Kilo Tango 8 Delta 5-9.
Hold on. Uh-oh, the video camera got destroyed. So you were okay on that one, Bob?
Yes, I bought another video camera on eBay.
Oh. So you didn't go in the drink there?
No, almost.
Yeah, that looked pretty rough. I know you guys were trying to beat out a typhoon, they call them, south of the equator, right?
Yeah, there was an oncoming storm, and we were in a big hurry to get on our way, and we just barely got out of there in time.
Yeah, I remember sat phoning with Jerry. I was the lead pilot on that one, and they said, didn't get out within the next few hours. You weren't going to be getting out for days. So it's a good thing you guys got out. Unfortunately, the camera didn't make it. But I did see that video at that club meeting, and that was a wonderful video. And I just got to say this, too. I've been the activities manager for a local repeater when I first started in amateur radio. And the hardest part of the job, maintaining the roster or keeping up with the dues or doing the monthly newsletters, the hardest part was actually finding people to get up and give presentations every month. And these videos work out great. You just pop them in, push a button, and voila, it's your meeting. Because they're, what, 45 minutes about? 45 minutes to an hour each video?
Yeah, typically 40 to 50 minutes, right?
Okay. Yeah, and they're great for that. And I like the idea of for Boy Scouts or even science teachers. And the really cool thing is it kind of exposes some new hams to DXing and the adventures that that you could enjoy if you get into DXing. Now, I know the latest one you just finished, that was K1N, right? Amsterdam Island? Navassa, right?
Navassa Island, yes. It took us 13 years to get permission from U.S. Fish and Wildlife to activate Navassa. And we did it earlier this year. I took some video. We've just completed all of the editing and the production, and I am really, really proud of it.
And I understand you brought with you a trailer today. So, Brian, if you want to give them a little taste of the Navassa video, you can go ahead and do that.
In a world where DXers battle to work them all, one tiny island slowly rose to the top of the most needed list. Navassa. In January 2015, 15 aging radio amateurs, 15 seasoned DX professionals set out by sea and by air to spend 2 weeks putting the island back on the air. And in your logs.
Sugar Victor 1, Romeo Kilowatt 59.
K1N, Kilo 1, Navassa.
They survived on the most basic food, endured primitive conditions, and a hostile environment. All so you could make that one coveted contact.
Whiskey 8 Bravo India 59.
On every band and mode, plus a safety contact just in case. Now you can experience this epic DX adventure. Bob Alphen presents K1N Navassa, the movie. The DVD. Available at many fine amateur radio retail establishments or direct at NavassaDX.com. Order yours today. No red boobies were harmed in making this movie.
All right, I love that trailer. Now, Bob, did you edit that yourself or is this all professionally done?
No, it's professionally done. These fellas that help me on these things are all hams, but they had a career in editing, and I wouldn't know what to do. I just kind of give them a little guidance and turn them loose. That trailer we just saw, just every time I see it, it just tickles me to death.
It's hilarious. Seasoned DX or professionals.
Yes,
I love it. Now, how much is it if somebody wants to buy these for their club or for the Boy Scouts or whatever, for stocking stuffers, how much are they? And does that include shipping?
Well, there's 10 DVDs, as we mentioned. Half of them are priced at $25. They are the more popular ones. And the other half are priced at $22. But, of course, that price includes shipping worldwide. So I think it's a fair price.
And now we have a slide that shows how people can order them if they want to go ahead and order them, if you want to pull that up, Brian. And while that's showing on the screen, are you going to be offering anything special to our Ham Nation viewers tonight if they order these DVDs?
As a matter of fact, yes. I mentioned that they're either priced at $25 or $22. But if you purchase three of them at the same time, the special price is $60, $60. And, of course, that does include shipping. Or if you want the complete set of 10 DVDs, it's $175. So instead of $25 or $22, that averages about $17.50 per DVD. So I think it's attractive, and a number of people go ahead and get the complete set.
Well, I know it really came, those come in handy. They came in handy for me when I was an activities manager, and I'm sure they will for a lot of other people. And if they order them, can they get them by Christmas if they want them as a stocking stuffer? Will that be okay?
Absolutely. Yeah. I've got the All first right. shipment of DVDs will be here in my office the end of next week, and I'm going to start filling orders, and they definitely will be out in time for Christmas for stocking stuffers.
All right. Hey. And does this help pay for the de-expedition as well?
What's the question?
This is just a separate thing. Does this help pay for the de-expedition as well?
Actually, the money is split between the editor and my own personal de-expedition budget. This is how I can afford to go on de-expeditions.
And lead them. And Bob, you've led so many de-expeditions and been to so many remote places in the world. Do you think you could stick around for the chat room in case anybody out there has any questions about the DVDs or about any of the de-expeditions you've been on or how to become a de-expeditioner, a de-expedition leader, something like that? Can you hang around with us?
Yeah, Val, I'd be happy to. Might be my
That'd
pleasure.
Be great. All right. Thanks for hanging with us. And thanks for joining us tonight. And I have our DX report for tonight. We just have a couple of really good rare ones going on right now. If you want to go ahead and show that slide number two. Seychelles is on right now. Sierra 79 Charlie. So if you want to go ahead and work those guys. Also, the VK9 Whiskey Alpha. That, if you want to show that next slide. They're on right now. And as a matter of fact, today they just came up on Riddy. So there's the dates, they're there, and if you want to work them, don't forget that to work them then. And as far as contests go, this weekend is the ARRL sweepstakes contest. And this one is the one, you know, with the really long exchange. They just had the CW one a week or two back. And this sideband one is also with the long exchange. And I'm kind of going to give you an idea of the exchange. First, you have to give a serial number, a sequential serial number, so the first QSO you make, it'll be serial number one, and then it'll be two, three, four, etc. And then you want to give your precedence, which is your class, basically, like QRP, low power, high power, unlimited, multi-op, or a school. Your call sign, your check, which is the last two digits of the year you first got licensed. And then your ARRL section, which is the same thing you give out during field day. So, for example, Jerry and I are going to be on this weekend. If I worked you, I'd be 01. Multi-op, NV9L, 06, because I got licensed in 2006, Illinois. And that would be my exchange. And I know the exchanges are really long, and that's intentional, because the goal is to get you ready for any catastrophic event where a lot of information has to be exchanged accurately. So that's why this contest has long exchanges, to kind of get you in, get you ready in case there's anything catastrophic. And other than that, that's all I've got for DXing and contesting. Obviously, over Thanksgiving weekend is a really big one. CQ Worldwide CW is always the weekend of Thanksgiving. And so I will see you guys in December, but I'm going to stick around for chat room. And guess what? This week, I don't have to do chat room because Amanda's back. Welcome back, Amanda.
Thank you. As you can see, I still have... wrong hand. I still have boxes behind me. So
and bare walls.
Bare walls. It's so hard to decide. And it's really fun to be able to start your ham shack from the ground up, but also at the same time, you're so indecisive. We can't even decide on the flooring. We don't know if we want tile, carpet, what do we want? So chat room, tell me, what would you put in your ham shack just on the flooring? What would you like? I'm thinking not carpet. Just because I know how Jeff is, and he'll be stripping wires and stuff, and then I'll be stepping on little wire strands all the time. So anyhow, let's move on. Bob, really nice to have you on the show with us tonight. And we have lots of viewer questions for you. So let me get to them here. The first one is, on your first video that you showed, how was the reception there and what was the noise floor like?
You're talking about the Amsterdam Island DVD?
Yes.
We were in the southern part of the Indian Ocean. So we were about 7,000 miles away from Japan, which is one population center. We were 11,000 miles away from the nearest European and 12,000 miles away from the nearest North American station. So it's just about as far away from any of those population centers as you could be, yet signals were quite good. And on an island like that, there is some infrastructure there. There's 20 French scientists and military that live there. So they had some generators running to provide their power. And we had a little bit of a noise problem, but not very much. Oftentimes, when you go to an uninhabited island, there is no noise at all. It's unbelievable. You can work people that have that don't even move the S-meter.
Very good. Well, thank you. I have to say, my reception of you guys was not so great. I never heard you, unfortunately, and I did not ever get a chance to work you guys. But I heard the pileups, and you were doing a pretty good job. So kudos to you. Now, we had another question about, and I'm going to add to this question a little bit. Someone asked, what happens to all the equipment after your de-expedition? And I'm going to add to that, where does all the equipment come from?
That's a great question. The way it works these days is that most of the equipment manufacturers like ICOM or Yaesu or Elecraft, they will loan equipment to the de-expedition. And then after it's over, they'll take it back or they'll offer it to the team or, you know, the friends of the team, if you will, at a discount. Same way with antennas. Oftentimes the antennas are shipped back. Oftentimes they just go into the de-expedition's inventory and they're used over and over again.
Okay, that's great. And I know that DX Engineering does a lot of that, and so does ICOM as well. So thank you so much for all of your donations, you guys. And one other thing, and I'm not sure that this actually happens, but is there a QRP de-expedition? Does that ever take place?
There's a great interest in QRP, but I'm really only aware of one or two expeditions that have advertised the fact that they're going to be running low power. And the interest in working those people is among others that are QRP enthusiasts. Usually the big expeditions to really rare paces that are not on the air very often want to run as much power as they can with the best antenna they can so that they can be as loud as they can.
Absolutely. And that leads me to another question. Wanting to run as much power as possible, you're probably running amplifiers and such. Aren't you ever worried about the power situations in some of these remote locations to get that going?
It's a big consideration. In fact, it's one of the things that we've got to be pay most attention to, because we really are running, well, lately we've been running some of the Elecraft KPA 500, so the power is 500 watts. But on Amsterdam, for example, we had some of the OM amplifiers coming out of Slovakia. And these are big old heavy things that run 1.5 kW. And so when we know what kind of equipment is going to be available to us, we then have to match the generators and the power distribution so that we don't have any problems.
Understandable. And then just probably crossing your fingers a little bit. Hi. Well, Bob, it was so nice to have you on the show tonight. And Valerie, great interview. And Val, I don't think you said, are you participating in the sweepstakes this weekend?
I've got another obligation this weekend, unfortunately. I'm going to miss it.
Okay. Val, what about you?
Yes, Jerry and I will be multi-op multi-op in the operation this weekend. So hopefully I'll get to work all you guys out there.
Very good. That's great. Have fun. And Dr. Bob, so nice to be back on the show. And I did have a couple questions for you, but you answered some of them in the chat room, so no big deal there. The other one I had was probably for George, but I bet I can send it your way. How often should you change out fuses, or should you change them out at all and just wait until they blow to change them?
No, wait till they change themselves, require to be changed. No need to do that. Bob, before you get away, I personally want to publicly thank you for all you have done all these many years to make de-expeditions happen. And how many have you done, Bob, that you've fronted and been on? How many de-expeditions have you done?
At last count, about 40. Starting in 1979, but you know, of the really mega de-expeditions, the one where we make, you know, tens of thousands of QSOs and go to the top 10 most needed, probably about 11 of those. And by the way, I didn't know you were on, Bob. I should have mentioned that you you and Heil have been a good supporter of our de-expeditions. Thank you for that.
I thank you. And in 1985, I was invited by the North California DX group to build them a headset. There was really no good headset out there. They had the old Supros and things and so on, but they weren't very good. And so we developed the BM10, and we still make that. But that was for years the leading headset for de-expeditions. And we've been doing the de-expeditions and supporting them for all these many years. And Sarah Heil, who owns Heil Sound these days, she is just relentless to be able to support you and the groups that you spend your life doing this. And I don't think a lot of people realize how much money and how much you put your personal life into it. So I thank your wife for sharing you with us and all of your family. And you've just done a marvelous thing for ham radio with keeping all these de-expeditions alive. And I want the viewers to know what a special person you are to make all this happen. Oh, there's a lot of other people, but you're kind of the ramrod. And one of the things you do is raise the money. Would you want to tell the viewers kind of what it takes if we wanted to do a de-expedition, Navassa, what kind of money are we talking about in these major de-expeditions?
Well, first of all, my wife, Mary, is sitting beside me, and she very much appreciates your kind comment. She has been very free with the kitchen passes, if you will. And also, I have a BM10, and I use it. So I'm one of those. I got one of the early ones. Anyway, to answer your question, because I tend to specialize on the really rare ones. For example, Amsterdam. Although I was not the expedition leader, I was kind of the co-leader and fundraiser. That was number 6 overall out of 340 DXCC entities. Navassa was either number 1 or number 2, depending on which list you looked at. So if they're out in the middle of the Indian Ocean, transportation is your big cost. And the vessel that took us 9 days to Amsterdam stayed with us for 19 offshore and then took us back to Australia for another 9 days. That cost $325,000. Of course, Navassa is a little bit closer down in the Caribbean. But still, because of the need to use helicopters from Jamaica, the cost was about $320,000. Typically, the team puts up about half of the money, Bob, and then we are hopeful that what I call the DX community, which would be individual DXers, individual DX clubs, and of course the DX foundations like Indexa and Northern California DX Foundation, combined, hopefully we'll come up with the other half. I can tell you this, that concept of half and half has worked very well. We've never had to cancel an expedition that we've been planning or have to cut back on it due to a lack of funds, even though it's one heck of a lot of money.
Well, I appreciate that, and I know you work very hard to make all of this happen financially. And we might, Valerie, we might have him back sometime to explain a little bit about some of the organizations behind the scenes that fund that. That might be a very interesting topic sometime. We might want to work on that. So that, I just wanted to say publicly how much that we appreciate what you do. And yes, Mary, we appreciate you loaning him to us. So Amanda, I just wanted to do that while we were still here. And if you had any other questions, why, it's all yours again, Amanda. And your picture looks great tonight. And I have a suggestion for your room if you'd like to take it.
I would love to hear the suggestion. Go ahead.
We've built over the years a lot of recording studios, and here's what you do. You want hardwood floors, tile, some tile. You don't want rug at all. But here's what you do for the walls, because if you put hardwood down here, you're going to get a lot of echo and reflections. I think I can show you this. I'm going to turn the camera around and show you what you do. You put carpet on the walls, and you can get cheap carpet. Let me see if we can get there. Come on here. You get some real cheap carpet, and the reason I say is you come on here, Kyle. There you go. You see the bottom half of this is carpet, and the cheaper it is, the better. You want loose pile. And it won it fireproof, carpet usually is, and that really helps the reflections right off the floor. And then we put that little wallpaper thingy in there. But you want to put carpet on the walls. And when you do that, you'll stop all of this nonsense of reflection. So just wanted to let you know it's a very inexpensive way to do that. And we built a number of high-profile recording studios in guys' homes and stuff that we work with. But try that. You'll love it. And you got to have a hardwood floor. So when you drop solder down there, it won't burn the house up. So there you go. My two cents on how to do this. Okay?
That sounds good. And it reminds me of Katie Allen's shack, actually. I've seen a lot of pictures of her operating, and her shack looks like that floor to ceiling, I think. Katie, you'll have to comment about that in the chat room. And my other huge question, or it's a huge debate between Jeff and I, a pass-through through our window that's in the room, or do we cut a hole in our house? That's a big dilemma for us. What do you think, Bob?
No. I think I know I've had it on you early. Maybe I should come up and do it again. I use toilet flanges, and people say, what? It's a really cool way. You put that on the floor, and you're going to end up with a pipe about this big around. And you can never have a big enough pipe into your house for coax, because you're always going to want extras. Here I've got 15 coaxes going out of here. And they go through the floor in this pipe flange. I'll do that next week. That'll be a nice thing, because a lot of people might not have seen it several, 3 years ago, believe it or not. But that's a wonderful way to handle it. The window is not the way to handle it. And you can seal it up really well as it goes through the wall of the foundation and all that. I'll get you some pictures of that. And that's just my personal. And I've done a lot of things and built a lot of ham radio shacks in my day as I move around. But this is the best. I've done everything I wanted to do with this place. And thank God Sarah found this place and bought it for us. And I'm blessed. And what can I tell you? So that's my two cents for tonight.
Very good. I can't wait to see those pictures, by the way. We need some ideas. So I'm really looking forward to that. Anyhow, you guys, it's so nice to be back. I've missed you all so much. Val, do you have any final comments for the show?
No, I don't. Everything's good here, and it's really great to have you back, Amanda. I know everybody, you do such a good job in the chat room, and I'm so glad you're back doing it.
Thank you. It's work to follow that chat room. It flows so fast. So
it is work. It is work. I found that out, you know, covering for you the last month. I didn't realize how hard it was and to know who to send those questions to. So I am really glad you're back.
Well, I really appreciate you covering me. Hey, you guys, a great show. Mr. Bob, thanks so much for visiting. And I can't wait for you to come join us again for some more de-expedition stuff. So that's all I have, you guys. I'm sure we're going to go over the nets us and wrap it up here.
Okay, very good. So long to you, Bob Alf, and thanks for coming. You and Mary have fun the rest of the night. We'll look forward to seeing what other expeditions you have, and mostly de-expeditions. Thanks, Valerie, for having them on. And thanks. Everybody else, chat room, Brian, George, Don, Gordo out there running around getting ready to help us with communications when the world unfolds. And we'll see you back here next week on Ham Nation. Tell all your friends. We look forward to being here each week and appreciate everybody in Petaluma putting this together. Leo Laporte makes it all happen. Brian pushes all the buttons, and we just sit here and do silly stuff. But the serious stuff tonight was Bob Alf and K4UEE. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next Wednesday and catch you on all of the replays and the afternets, 14268, 72, probably you look around 270 somewhere. Look around, you'll find them. And we'll see you next week on Ham Nation. 73, bye-bye for now.